Well, we're so glad to have everyone here tonight. God bless you. The choir will be coming around here in a moment. And we've had a great week. And I want to introduce just real quickly, most of you, how many is here the first time tonight? First time for the conference. Anybody? First time? One? Okay, all right. Some of you were here for the, okay. All right, very good. Oh, very good. Very good. Appreciate that. And that means everybody else come back, been here, came back for more. That's good. That's even better there. And we have had a great week. We really have. And so I don't need to do a whole lot of introduction. Dr. Tom Sexton was on staff down for years ago. At one time, years ago, I believe, if I remember, it was the fastest growing church in America, wasn't it, Highland Park?
It was the largest Baptist church in the world.
The largest Baptist church in the world. And at that point, that was at what point? Were you?
That was when I was there.
That right there, the heyday when mm-hmm. Brother Robertson retired then. Amen. And so, I mean, it can be done. Yeah. And he was right there in the middle of it. And the Lord brought him to Cape Coral, Florida. And that back there where all the rich people live. And anyway, the Lord has put him there for 27 years. And the Lord is blessed. They have a good church. We've had some folks who've gone to Florida to visit. You're not allowed to go to visit, folks. But do you go to Florida to visit and have been there to visit his church? And I know they always come back and have good reports. Appreciate him so very, very much. And I'll tell you the truth, he's really been a blessing to me this week. I hope he has to you too. And now I'm going to let him right now. I'll take my water and give us what the Lord's got on your hand, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, preacher. I have I got this right? Do I have this right? All right, good. And I'll tell you, I've enjoyed this so very much. It's been a blessing to me. And I like to get around your pastor. I like to get around his family. It's encouraging to me. By the way, you ought to be encouraged about what God is doing. Amen. The Lord's doing something, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful. And I'm glad I'm in on it, you know, and glad I get to have a part in God's work and get to share with others what the Lord's done in my life. And, you know, I'm just amazed. I remember when God called me and stirred my heart up about preaching. I remember my first sermon I preached. Now, everybody called me a preacher before I surrendered to preach. My wife wouldn't let me pray at the table. It was 3 points, a poem, and an invitation. People I worked with started calling me a preacher. And so one day I said, okay, I guess I'll just do this. But God had stirred me up, you know. And and I remember the first sermon I ever preached. I thought I'd never do that again. That was a disaster. But God's given me a victory here and there, and I thank God for that. But you know, nothing is more precious than hearing the Word of God. Can you imagine? Isn't God good to us? Now, I want to bring a message tonight. It's a little unusual. Well, a little unusual. Our messages are a little unusual, but this is more of a thing. I want to help you, and I'm looking forward to the sermon to follow, but I want you to turn to Luke chapter number 1. Now, when you turn there, you're going to think, whoa, do you know what time of the year it is? Luke chapter number 1. We're going to read in just a moment a portion of Scripture, and I'm going to ask God to help us tonight to give us an understanding. I really believe that we're on the threshold of God doing something wonderful or taking us out of this world. I mean, I believe that. And there are a lot of people that are praying and asking God to do a work. We went to Southwest Florida in 1989. My wife and I did. And I was with Dr. Robertson in Highland Park, and then I pastored for a short period in South Carolina in a little town called Graniteville in a little community called Breezy Hill. And it'd been Breezy Hill if you were from outside there, but if you were me, it was Tornado Alley. But God really helped me so much in that area, and you know, I left Highland Park. That ministry was one of these just aggressive, everything going on. You know what I'm talking about? And I went to a little town, a small community, with about 1,500 people. And I just got unplugged from a powerful ministry where it was 24/7. I mean, just go, 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 go. And got plugged into this laid-back community that just wanted to sit down and have a bowl of pinto beans and cornbread and a glass of tea and talk about that. And I about drove them crazy. They about drove me crazy. But they helped me and I helped them. And God was so good to us. And then I went to Cape Coral, Florida. And then I wished I was back at Breezy Hill. But my wife and I just unpacked our van, our U-Haul, and we got everything put in, and I went right across the street and started knocking on doors. And I'm not that spiritual. I just knew if I didn't get started, I never would get started. And the first door that I knocked on, a man said, "Hey, I'm here on vacation. I come here 6 weeks a year." And he said, "I helped my brother start a good old-fashioned independent Baptist church. I didn't know this was going to happen. I'm here for 6 weeks. I'll help you." I said, "All right." And that was good. And so the Lord knows what he's doing, doesn't he? And he's been so good to us. And I thank God for it. And, you know, it's all about people. Invest in your lives in people. Now, I want you to read with me tonight, and I appreciate you, Pastor, inviting me. I really mean that, and it's a great privilege for me to stand in this pulpit and to share the Word of God with you. Your pastor has tremendous influence, and I want to tell you something. Influence is what it's about. One of these days, the trumpet's going to sound. We're leaving this world, and we're going to get a glorified body. Are you ready for that? Whether you are or not, I know some folk. Well, I'll just pass that up. And we're gonna go before the judgment seat of Christ. And every man's work shall be tried and tested of what sort it is. And God's going to reward us for what we've done with our lives. But I'm convinced the greatest reward that we have at the judgment seat of Christ will be the result of our influence, because our influence lives beyond the grave. You know, to always build your influence. But I want you to know this: your pastor and his precious wife have tremendous influence, and this church has influence beyond this city, all over this country. And one of these days, you're going to get the clipped coupons for the influence of this ministry. And I don't know about you, but that's going to be a great day. And I look forward to that. And I'm glad that I've had just a few moments here and get a chance to be with you. And you pray for me. I pray that God will help us in Florida. We have our town. We started off, we had people from New York and New Jersey. And now we have a lot of Germans. So we got 94,000 Germans in our county. That's pretty good, isn't it? And, you know, they're Lutheran, but they make wonderful Baptists. So we're working at it, you know what I mean? But I want you to turn your Bible, if you would, to Luke chapter number 1, and I want you to read with me in this portion of Scripture. The Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Father, dear Lord, I thank you again for your goodness. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to help me tonight that you might anoint me fresh and new with your spirit. And Lord, that you would take this message and the truth that you've given me and help me to share it with these precious people. And Lord Jesus, tonight, I pray that you would open our minds and our hearts of understanding. And Lord, help us to desire your power and your blessing on our lives. But oh Lord, if there's one here tonight that's not sure they're going to heaven, Lord Jesus, may this be their day of salvation. We'll thank you for it, praise you for it. And help us, Lord, when we leave these meetings tonight, we leave and please you with our lives, and we'll thank and praise you. For we ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I want to speak tonight on this subject, the favor of God. The favor of God. Now we have recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1, a woman that the devil has robbed us from. He stole this woman. Matter of fact, I have a series of messages I preached many years ago, and I probably ought to preach them again in our church, on things the devil took from us. And he took some things from us. One thing, he took the Lord's Prayer from us. And there's power in the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer was the secret to the spirit of one accord in the church at Jerusalem. The Lord's Prayer, powerful, powerful truth. But we don't say much about it because we're Baptist and we don't talk about the Lord's Prayer. Another thing that the devil stole from us is this woman, Mary. We don't say much about her because people have taken Mary and made a person out of her. That's who she's not that person. As a matter of fact, Mary is one of the most amazing people in all the Word of God. Now there's a reason. There's a reason that the devil took this woman out of our lives. There's a reason that he's put fear in people about studying Mary. And the reason is because this woman is the only person in the Bible that God says is highly favored. Now, God talks about people having his favor. So, the favor of God is something that every single person should want in their life, on the children's life, and on the church and ministry. Now, I want you to turn, if you would please, to a verse in the Old Testament, and we'll be back to Luke chapter 1 in just a moment. But I want you to turn to the book of Psalm chapter 41. Psalm chapter 41. And I want you to make note of this verse, Psalm chapter 41. By the way, how many have children? You're raising children. How many have children? Well, this is something that every mother, every father ought to want their children to have, the favor of God. Now, here's why. Look at Psalm 41. Do you have it? And look at verse 11. Now, look what the Bible says. By this I know that thou favors me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. The Word of God says, by this I know that thou favorest me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. In other words, if you've got the favor of God on your life, the Word of God says the enemy will not triumph over you. Now, everybody here tonight has three enemies. Number one, the world is your enemy. I want you to know tonight that the world is capturing a lot of Christians. The world is capturing a lot of preachers. The world is capturing a lot of young people. And the world is very aggressive at capturing people. And the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world. The world, the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. And I want you to know tonight, the world is after you. Like a hungry dog, the world is after you. And the world is capturing a lot of young people and a lot of churches. Now, I've been doing this almost 40 years. I've been in the Lord's work. And I have seen so many good young people captured by the world. They thought they could handle the world. But the world will devour. The world will destroy. Number two, the flesh is your enemy. Now look, if the world gets you, you're finished. Now you may keep going, but you're finished. If the flesh gets you, you're finished. The flesh. The Bible says in Galatians that the works of the flesh are manifested. Do you know the flesh? Oh my goodness. The flesh will get you. We live in a day where so many people are falling to the flesh, the desires of the flesh. And I want you to know tonight, the flesh is after. The flesh is after every child of God, and the flesh is after young people. You know, there's a world and the flesh that's looking for the best of the best. You know, the industry that promotes the flesh is looking for our children and our young people, searching for them. The Word of God says that the adulterer searches for precious life. Now, you think about that. Now, the flesh is after. We have a third enemy, and that is the devil. The Bible says he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil wants to devour. That word devour literally means to make disappear. How many people have you seen that have disappeared? You say, what do you mean? How many people used to be in the choir, in the pew, in Sunday school? How many people used to be on the firing line and they disappeared? What happened to them? Well, they were devoured. Devoured. You see, the devil knows how to get you out of something. Now watch. The Bible says, by this shall I know that thou favorest me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. Is it possible? Is it possible in our day for a person to have victory over the world? Is it possible in our day for a person to have victory over the flesh? Is it possible in our day for a person to have victory over the devil? According to the Word of God, it is. The Bible says if we have the favor of God on our life, our enemy will not triumph over us. Are you still with me now? Now let me ask you a question. Did Mary have the favor of God on her life? God says, not only did she have the favor of God, but God says, thou art highly favored. Can you imagine Now, how do we know that she had favor over the favor of God and victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil? She lived in Nazareth of Galilee. Do you remember what they said to the Lord Jesus? Can anything good come out of Galilee? Can anything good come out of there? Yes, if you've got the favor of God on your life, you can live anywhere in this world and live on the winning side. If you've got the favor of God on your life, the world will not defeat you. It's amazing to me that when God was looking for someone to use, that he went past Jerusalem, he went past those places that we think he would find someone, and he went to Galilee. And he found a young girl in Galilee that had the favor of God on her life. Something good was in Galilee. By the way, when the Lord rose from the grave, he told his disciples, "Meet me in Galilee." A lot of wonderful things came out of Galilee. But this one young girl, this powerful Christian, this girl that the devil has robbed us from, lived in Galilee, and she had the power of God upon her life, and she had victory over the world. Did she have victory over the flesh? The Bible is very clear to say, to a virgin espoused to a man. She was pure. The flesh had not captured her. The flesh did not get her. She had victory over the world, and she had victory over the flesh. I don't know about you, but just to know that our young people and our families and the folk who are part of our church can have the favor of God and win victory over the world and win victory over the flesh makes me want to sit up and find out how in the world does that happen. Number three, if she's truly got the favor of God on her life, her enemy will not get her. The world won't get her, the flesh won't get her, and the devil won't get her. Now, did she have victory over the devil? Did she have victory? Let me tell you what the devil's most powerful weapon is. His most powerful weapon. The one that he's used down through the centuries that has literally destroyed people. His most powerful weapon. The weapon that he uses, and a man and a woman are finished. You know what it is? It's the same thing that he used in the garden when he says, "Have God said?" He uses doubt. All the devil has to do, all he has to do is get you to doubt. That's all he has to do. If he can get you to doubt, the Bible says in Romans 14, 23, "He that doubteth is damned if he eateth." Can you imagine what happens to the future of a child of God when they doubt God? It's over. When you doubt God, there is no future. Now, God has asked Mary to do something that no one has ever done. He tells her that she's going to accomplish something that's never been done, humanly impossible. She wonders, how shall this be? Seeing I know not a man, how can this possibly happen? How can God bring forth his son? How can I have a child and know not a man? And the angel said, because God, the power of the highest, shall overshadow thee. And God says, with God nothing shall be impossible. And what did Mary say? one of the strongest statements in all the Word of God. As a matter of fact, it may be the most powerful statement recorded in the Word of God by a believer. And here's what she said. Be it unto me according to thy word. Can you imagine the faith that she has demonstrated? Be it unto me according to thy word. Read through the Word of God. Read through the Gospels and see how the devil tried to get people to doubt. To doubt. The woman with the issue of blood. Don't touch the garment. She believed. Over and over. This morning, I spoke about Mary and Martha. When they said, roll away the stone. There's going to be no doubt left here. Believe God. We have recorded in the Word of God a testimony of this woman that she had the favor of God on her life, and then God lets us know the victory that she had won with it. Now, that's not my message. That's just the introduction. But I want you to know something. There's a reason. There's a reason the devil has hid this woman from us for centuries. Because the devil knows something. If we ever discover what Mary did to have the favor of God upon her life, if we ever get a hold of what Mary got a hold of, we will literally change the world with God. She was a powerful believer. She did something no one has ever done. Because she had God's favor. And it was the fact that she had God's favor that she was chosen. Now, would you like to have the favor of God upon your life? Is God a respecter of persons? No. Can God do for you and do for me what He's done for others? You must have the favor of God. Now, I'm just going to give them to you very quickly. But I want you to know something. What I'm about to tell you is something the devil would do everything in his power to keep you from believing. I'm going to tell you what Mary did to have the favor of God on her life. And by the way, the things of God, God wants us to understand how you accomplish His work. And you cannot accomplish great things without God's favor. I had the privilege of working with Dr. Robertson. I can tell you today, he had God's favor on his life. What I'm about to tell you is something he could tell you just like that. Here's what she did. Number one, she knew the Bible. Now, we don't have time tonight, but I challenge you to look at it. Look what the Word of God says. In Luke chapter number 1, look what the Bible says about Mary. She goes to Elizabeth's house, and she says in verse number 46, and Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in, verse number 47. What is that? My spirit has rejoiced in who? You know, I wonder how many of our dear friends who are trapped in the Catholicism understand that Mary said, I need a Savior. Hey, only sinners need Saviors. But she not only said that, she said, my God, my Savior. And then she started, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Do you know what she's doing? She's quoting from memory Old Testament passages. She was filled with the Word of God. Now, I want you to know, in her day, in her lifetime, in her generation, she had to work at learning the Word of God and memorizing the Word of God. But she was filled with the Word of God. You cannot have God's favor on your life and ignore the Bible. You've got to have the Bible. Number two, she knew something about praying. As a matter of fact, here recorded in Luke chapter 1 is her prayer. Have you ever been around somebody that could really pray? I mean, you know, get a hold of God. We had prayer meetings in Chattanooga, and all the staff would get there, you know, we'd have the prayer meeting, and you'd be with different people, Dr. Faulkner, Dr. Robertson, and we'd have it in the morning, and after the radio broadcast, they'd have a special request, and so we'd have that special prayer meeting every week, and you'd kneel down, and then you'd just pray around the room. And I remember the first time that I was next to Dr. Robertson, and he prayed before I prayed. When he got through praying, I didn't feel like praying. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, my goodness. He got a hold of God. And you know, if you've ever been around people that could pray and just get a hold of God, you know there's something special about their relationship. Now, Mary knew God. She said, He's God, my Savior. Mary also knew something about the Bible. She understood what the Word of God had to say about a virgin shall conceive. She understood that God had said in His Word, and God had promised this, and she'd hid the Word of God in her heart. And she was a praying girl. She knew something about praying. Number three, the first place she ran with the good news was to the preacher, John. Isn't that amazing? She had a relationship with the man of God. And a matter of fact, you think about this. I don't have time to go into it, but you think about what she said at Elizabeth's house and who Elizabeth's husband was and what his responsibility would have been for a maid to be found with a child out of wedlock. I mean, that's not good. She could have been stoned. But she had such a good testimony and such a good relationship. They knew this woman's right. You cannot have God's favor on your life and not have the right relationship with your spiritual leadership. Let me say it one more time. You cannot have the favor of God on your life and have the power of God on your life and not have the right relationship with your spiritual leadership. I'll give you an illustration. In the Old Testament, there's a man by the name of Lot. No one wants to end up like Lot. Do you know one of the reasons Lot ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah? One of the reasons? Because he had a problem with Abraham. Contention. And he moved. He left. Boy, how many people have lost the blessing of God on their life because they fell out of favor? Now look, I'm a pastor. I love people. I love people that don't love me. And sometimes it's hard loving people. Now I don't say I like everybody, but I'm loving everybody. You know, there's a special relationship God gives a pastor for people. And Mary understood something. She had the right relationship. Number four, she was a giver. See, people who won't give cannot be used of God. They'll never know God. Now, if we give, according to Malachi chapter number 3, we bring the tithe in the storehouse. By the way, this is a storehouse. God says, I'll do this. I'll open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. That's wonderful, isn't it? He says, I'll rebuke the devourer. Who is the devourer? Satan. and I'll protect your fruit. Do you think Mary knew something about giving? Oh, yeah. She read the Bible. She knew something about praying. She had the right relationship with the man of God. She was a giver. You know what else she was? She was a witness. She understood the importance of winning souls. As a matter of fact, she said, from henceforth, all generations, there's a secret to people being mightily used of God. They believe that God wants everybody to be saved. Mary was a soul winner. You say, what? Very quickly, turn, if you would, to the Gospel according to John. John chapter 19. In John chapter number 19, the Bible says, verse 7, the Jews answered him and said, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. They crucified Jesus, according to the Jews, because he said he was God's Son. He said he didn't have an earthly father. He said he's God. He's the Messiah. He's Christ. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said in John chapter 10, I and the Father are one. And they said, look, we're killing him because he made himself the Son of God. That's the reason they crucified him. Now look down in verse number 25. The Bible says in John 19, verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. If there's one person on the face of this earth that knows whether or not Jesus is God's Son, if there's one person who knows the truth, it's her. She knows whether he is God's Son or not. She knows whether he is God in the flesh or whether he's the son of someone else. And the Bible says she stood at the cross and looked at Jesus. He was being crucified because he said he's God's Son. She knew whether he's God's Son. She could have said, look, I've deceived him all of his life. He's not God's Son. I tricked him. I deceived him. But the Bible says she stood at the cross and she watched him die. Because she understood something. I need a Savior. But that's not all the verse says. Look what else the Bible says. Now they stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's what? Isn't it a sweet thing that God put that in the Bible? And God says, I want you to know something about Mary. She brought her sister to Calvary. I wish I had time tonight to tell you what it means to me that my brother brought me to Jesus. But people who know God and understand what God's plan is want to bring their family to Jesus. Here's a woman who spent time in the Word of God, prayed, faithful to church, had a good relationship with the preacher, gave. She said, be it unto me. You don't get any more than giving yourself. And she brought people to Calvary. What a powerful Christian. But that's just not things she did. That's what you find consistent in the Word of God for people that the Word of God says are have God's favor. Acts chapter number 2, that favor with God and favor with men. Those five things are there. The Bible, prayer, church, giving, and witnessing. Now, what does that mean to us? It means if we'll do those things, God does something for us. He gives us his favor. Leave one out, it's not the same. Father, dear Lord, thank you for your goodness. Help us tonight to seek your power and your favor on our lives, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.